to the real Indiana Jones, a.k.a. Timothy Alberino. How do you think the Nephilim and Giants will materialize before our eyes as it was in the days of Noah? And how soon is this going to happen? And, you know, this kind of ties in with the alien question, too, because that was similar to something I was going to ask is, you know, these angelic civilizations. When we think about what alien civilizations would be like, are those one and the same, or are they separate? And how would that materialize, or is it going to in the very near future for us in prophecy?
Yeah, I think we tend to have all of us together collectively at this point. I think we tend to get caught up in Nephilim tunnel vision.
Yeah,
everything here a Nephilim, there a Nephilim, everywhere a Nephilim.
Nephilim fatigue.
Nephilim fatigue is certainly set in for a lot of people.
Yep.
Everything isn't a Nephilim, and that's everything right. Isn't about Nephilim. Nephilim are one variable in a very complex equation, and they're very specific. It's a very specific phenomenon that happened on Earth in the Golden Age and continued in a post-flood context to some degree. So it depends on how you define a Nephilim to answer that gentleman's question. I think it was a man. And if you define a Nephilim, as some people do, as any aberration, any genetic aberration that is not human, mixed with human DNA, if that's a Nephilim, then we already have them here because China's making all kind of crazy things right now. If you define a Nephilim specifically as an entity that has the genetic material from the Watchers on some level, then that's a very precise definition. So in order to have a reemergence of those beings in the earth, we would need a preserved line, a preserved genetic line going back to the Watchers, which I believe does exist in the earth. And that's much more of a precise definition. So I think we should widen the boundary of the way we think about these things and go a little bit beyond the Nephilim paradigm and widen the playing field, so to speak, and allow for other entities to be involved that aren't Nephilim.
Right.
For example, is there an indigenous race of creatures, in my view, most probably reptilian creatures, that were here before us on the earth?
Right. Yeah.
I think that there's a very good possibility that statement, that the answer to that question is in the affirmative. And I do think that certainly, without question, there are entities that are not human and are not Nephilim, have nothing to do with Nephilim.
Right.
That are existent in the universe and exist within the hierarchy, exist within the order, exist within the cosmos of the universe, the order of the universe, as ordered, by the way, by God.
Yeah.
And so, but then again, are there other entities that have nothing to do with the Nephilim, that are extraterrestrial in origin, that are artificially conceived? There's a whole nother category. Isn't that a whole nother category?
Definitely.
How could those creatures be Nephilim? No. No, they have nothing to do with the offspring of Watchers and human females, or anything to do with that genetic line. Let's say, for the sake of argument, that the gray aliens are from Mars, and the gray aliens are actually not the little guys. The source of the gray aliens aren't the little 3 to 4 foot tall, large headed, black eyed beings. That in fact, those guys are drones, some kind of a clone. Let's call them clones,
right?
For the sake of argument, that those little guys are clones, and the real grays, so to speak, are the ones that are in control and made those clones, devised, conceived those clones through technological means, possibly using human DNA and the DNA of who knows what. Okay, so in that case, if the grays are clones, the little guys, if those are clones, can those things be classified as Nephilim? The answer is simply no, they cannot. Neither can they be classified as demons. Aliens are not demons. Demons are the tradition in the traditional context. A demon is, I should say, in the biblical context, a demon is the disembodied spirit of a fallen Nephilim, of a dead, right, specifically a dead giant. But also, if you've subscribed to the narrative of the Book of Giants, the Watchers didn't just copulate with human women. They procreated with animals.
Yeah.
Are those Nephilim? Okay. I suppose that those are Nephilim as well. But if you have so the disembodied spirits of the giants, according to the Book of Enoch, are the unclean spirits. They're called the unclean spirits, by the way, in the New Testament.
Yes.
Evil spirits is what they're called in the book of Enoch. So these are the possessing spirits. Why do they possess human bodies? Because they want bodies. They don't have them. They're disembodied. It's torturous. This is a condemnation that they're enduring. It's an extreme form of torture. You're supposed to have a body, but you don't have one. I mean, imagine that.
Yeah.
So you're hungry, you're thirsty, you have all the desires of the flesh, but you have no flesh. So what do you want? Flesh. And specifically, what kind of flesh do you want? That kind of flesh that is most analogous to the kind of flesh you had, and anatomy that is in some way similar. And what is that? Human beings.
Right.
What your mother was, in other words, you know, your mother's relatives. And so you're going to go after human flesh. And what do you want? You want to embody that person. You want to experience all the lusts of the flesh. That's all you want. You're not involved in some kind of a cosmic conspiracy. You're not running the Illuminati or anything like that. All you care about is getting a body. That's it, period. End of story. Have you ever encountered a demon possessed person? They're not the entities that are inhabiting these people are not interested in the Bilderberg group,
right?
These are very much like the depiction in the movie The Exorcist. These entities just want to torment you, and they just want to use your flesh, and they want to experience the lust of the flesh and food and drink and all of that, because that's all they care about. They're ravenous. That's one kind of entity. Now, you tell me. I've encountered these things. These unclean spirits. They're disgusting. They're ravenous. They're wicked. They're offensive. They're intelligent.
Right.
All they want is a body. Okay? They're sexual. They're driven sexually. They want to use your body for sexual purposes, but then they also want to damage it. Revenge. They hate their mothers.
Yeah.
Their fathers are the Watchers. So they esteem their fathers. They hate their lowly mothers. So and the race from which they come. And so they hate their state, their situation, this cursed situation that they have to endure. They want to be like their fathers, eternal, powerful, but instead they're vagabonds. And the only thing that they can do to satisfy the lust of their flesh is inhabit human beings. And so they're full of vengeance and wrath. Okay. Now think about a gray alien.
Right, right.
A stoic little being, this little drone being, doesn't even have sexual organs. So why the heck would you, as a demon, want to inhabit that thing?
Right.
You'd rather inhabit a pig. You'd rather inhabit a dog, a mouse,
yeah,
something that has sexual organs and so forth, and eats and is much more carnally oriented than a friggin' gray alien. So, you know, it doesn't make any sense. That's trying to make everything a Nephilim,
right? Right.
So the gray aliens, the only paradigm that a lot of people have is the Nephilimery, and so they gotta. Force those two things together in order for their worldview to make any sense, which is what people do with a lot of different topics, by the way. So great. I can guarantee you that a gray alien has nothing to do with a demon. Now, are they demonic? Well, if what you mean is, are they nefarious? I would say that abducting people and so forth, that's very nefarious activity. So yes. I think that gray aliens are nefarious, and so in that sense, demonic. But do they have anything to do with Nephilim or even Watchers? You know, I know that it's a popular view that the Greys are Watchers, are the Watchers. I don't think so. And I'm getting deeper into my book than I want to, but I want you to think about something. See, if you just read the narrative and you look at the story and you make logical inferences, things fit together better.
Right.
For example, what kind of a being is going to look down at the earth and lust over the daughters of Eve? A reptile? No, not necessarily. Some kind of a gray alien type creature?
With no sex organs at all?
Very unlikely. How about something that looks like us?
Right.
How about, I should say, that's really not the way to say it. We look like them.
Right.
A group of beings that are very much like us. Very, very much like us. They're not us, but we're siblings. We're cousins. We can copulate. We're so close that we can mate. And I think that's just a logical inference. So you have the sons of God who are looking down at the daughters of men, and they're going, that's a female version of me, basically. Yeah. We don't have those here.
Right.
How come they get those? And when I say those, it's a compliment to all women listening to this show.
You're not saying those things over there.
They're looking down and they're seeing these females.
Yeah.
They didn't get females.
Right.
But Adam got a female. And now they're not just jealous, they're lusting. Whoa. That right there tells me that the sons of God are very much like us. Very, very much like, they're not us. They're not human. But I think we can accurately consider them our elder siblings. They're like us. In fact, the Bible says that we're going to be sons of God, not in the sense that they're sons of God, not in the sense that we're going to be of the exact species of what they are, but we're going to be like them.
Right. It's more like a status instead of a species.
But Jesus says that we're going to be like them.
Yeah.
And then he says, being sons of the resurrection.
Mm.
What does that tell me? That tells me that Adam was a whole heck of a lot like them. That's what that right. tells me, because that's the purpose of the resurrection. It restores the human race to the original blueprint of Adam, but in the second Adam. And so Adam was very much like them. Is there a biblical precedent for this? Yes. He made us to be a little lower than the angels.
Right.
We're the younger siblings, and we're like them enough to where they can A, lust after us, and B, copulate with us. It's very simple for me. I don't complicate it beyond that. So for me, the Watchers are like us. They're lusting Wow. after our women. They're copulating with them. When they produce offspring, they just look like big versions of us.
Right.
So you got to put two and two together. And, you know, it's just, again, it's logical inference. And so we're very much, you see, it's not like people think. Let's just put it that way. It's not like I thought. So reality is quite different than what we think on every level. And, you know, Josh, even in the even with the understanding that this bottle isn't really solid, you know.
Right, right.
The bottle is comprised of atoms, and these atoms are actually mainly empty space.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not exactly, but in conventional terms, nothing is really solid. And then you get down to the quantum scale and nothing really makes sense.
That's true.
So, and so even the physical, the material world that we're so comfortable with, right, that we can touch and see and interact with, isn't what we think.
That's true. Yeah, it's a reductionism. That's the only way that we're able to even exist in the world that we live in is as human beings, we have to reduce it. Because when we think of any kind of object, you know, like I have a microphone here and I can hold it in my hand and move it around. But that's not what's really going on. What's really going on is the electrons that make up the atoms that make up my hand are repelling against the electrons that make up the atoms that make up the microphone. So it's all forces. You know, it has nothing to do. Yeah, it has nothing to do with solid material. Solid material isn't exactly real, not in the way that we would think of it. And it's repelling forces that's allowing that very simple thing to happen. But there's a human propensity to reduce everything. And in some ways it can be helpful. You know, in some ways, I don't have to think about electrons every time I pick something up. But in other ways, that can be extremely harmful. And you and I have talked about this on Into the Multiverse and several other interviews and stuff, that we tend to take that human trait of reductionism and we apply it to theology. And that is damaging. And
I think increased knowledge, it inhibits knowledge, it impedes knowledge.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And I think that's why, you know, probably a lot of people, and it's even, I'm guilty of this too. A lot of people who are watching this video, a lot of this stuff probably sounds brand new and but it kind of makes sense at the same time. And, you know, a lot of this stuff, even though Tim and I are friends and, you know, we, you know what's funny? I always hear every time I put a picture of you and I or me and Justin Fall or like anybody, they always say like, oh, how I would love to be a fly on the wall and hear what you guys talk about. You know, the funny thing is we don't really talk about this kind of stuff when we're just hanging out like personally. We just hang out like friends. But you know, we've been friends for a long time. We've talked, you know, a lot about this kind of stuff, even behind the scenes, you know, a lot. But I'm still amazed, you know, how much fresh insight that you're able to bring to these things, things that like I think about, but not in the same way that you have. And then you're able to kind of help complete that puzzle for me. It's really interesting. And, you know, that's why I love controversy, because in controversy, you have the chance of finding a piece of the puzzle you didn't already have.